Page Dramas present The Voodoo Murder Mystery, dramatized from The Leaves of Lethargy, the third story in the new series, The Return of Ashton Wolfe, now being featured in the American Weekly. This new series of baffling mystery stories are written by H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the Sûreté, the French secret police, and for many years, assistant to Dr. Bertillon, the founder of the famous system of criminal identification. If you are one of the Americans who enjoy reading real good detective mysteries, you can't afford to miss the return of Ashton Wolfe series. Begin next Sunday by ordering the Hearst Sunday newspaper that brings you at no extra cost the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world. And now for another exciting murder mystery, H. Ashton Wolfe's Voodoo Murder Mystery.
We've got a rather nasty murder on our hands, and now that Labelloire and Wolfe are here, you can tell us your story, Officer Dupuy.
I've stood guard since dawn, sir. No one has entered the house but myself and Dr. Maupert, for whom I sent as soon as I saw it was murder. And we touched nothing. The doctor thinks the woman was stabbed.
Woman, is it? Who is she?
Mademoiselle Odelia Dassouchet, a Creole from the West Indies, a very beautiful woman.
And what does Dr. Maupert mean by saying he thinks she was stabbed? Can there be any doubt where knife wounds are concerned? Any idea who the murderer may be?
That's the strange part, sir. A man was actually seen looking out of the window there about 4 o'clock in the morning. And he was seen again quite by chance as he left the house a few minutes later.
Who were these observant night owls?
The first was a taxi driver, who said his headlights shone on the house as he backed a turn. I verified that. It's true, they would. He caught sight of a man leaning from a window. The other was a farmer who happened along about 4:10, and saw a man shut the gate and hurry away towards the river.
What kind of a tale is this? Are you trying to tell me that for no reason whatever, both a farmer and a taxi man immediately reported an apparently trivial incident to the police? Did they know a crime had been committed or what?
That's what I meant when I said it was strange, sir. Both the farmer and the chauffeur seemed tremendously excited and frightened. They said the man looked like a corpse.
Oh, I suppose they meant he was pale, eh? Well, that's nothing so unusual.
No, that's not exactly it, sir. They both declared he looked like a ghost, or rather like a dead man come to life. That's exactly how the taxi driver described him. The man's clothes hung so loosely about him that it was evident he was nothing but a skeleton underneath.
Ah.
His face, in the light of the headlights, was just a skull with deep hollows where the eyes should have been. The look of the creature made him absolutely
sick. Yes, all right, a trick, of course. Well, go on.
Well, the farmer used almost the same words, except that he seems to have had a better view of the face. For according to him, the eyes were glassy, like those of a dead man, and covered with a kind of whitish film. Now, both were so frightened by the apparition that they reported the incident to us, and the commissar sent me out at once to have a look at the house. Now, when I found the front door was ajar...
The door was open?
Yes, sir, and I've left it so, too.
Good lad. And did this dead murderer, according to your informant, walk or drive away?
Neither, sir. The farmer said he seemed to glide as far as the corner, where he suddenly vanished.
Stop the nonsense. You searched the house?
Yes, sir, but there was no one about. The look of the room where the body is, well, it scared me, sir. And I preferred to leave everything alone until you came, sir.
Yes.
It's not a nice sight to come upon unexpectedly. There's...
Blood everywhere, yes. Thanks, my lad. We're used to such sights. I knew there'd be a lot of blood about. Oh, you needn't look so astonished. Did you leave those crimson footprints?
No, sir. I hadn't noticed them, sir.
Good heavens. These are funny.
Yes, I should say the ghost left the house on tiptoe. If he was not running, that's certain. Those marks are too close together for that. He probably stepped into a pool of blood. He seems to have worn very badly made coarse boots. Boots that had felt soles. Yes, neither leather, rope, nor rubber would have left such marks.
Mm.
And the soles were not merely stained, but absolutely impregnated with blood. See if you can follow them for any distance, Labelloire. Now, Wolf, let us go into the house. Well, from the weird manner this place is decorated, and from the curious way the forehead has been slashed, that knife mark in the form of a cross, together with all these queer symbols marked in blood all over this place, I'd say this was a voodoo murder.
Yes, you're right. That accounts for the little sign we found on the doorstep. The two parts of burnt matches tied together with a scarlet thread to form a cross.
Precisely. And the vat upon which the dead woman rests now forms a sacrificial altar, guarded on each side by those two grinning, hideous idols. The victim, this woman, is a West Indies Creole. That adds strength to the voodoo solution.
Sir, but where did all this blood come from? It certainly didn't come from this woman.
No, and what's more, she wasn't stabbed, the doctor no fair thought. See this? It's a small bullet. But what kind of a weapon fired such small bullets? 12 of them, in rapid succession. There's no sign of powder burns, which means the murderer stood at least 5 or 6 feet away, and yet the victim moved so little that all the bullets struck her within a very small circle. She was shot, not stabbed.
Look in here, monsieur.
Yes?
The kitchen, and look. There in the sink, several decapitated chickens. It's voodoo, all right. These chickens supplied all the blood we have encountered around here.
Well, we've settled on one point, a voodoo murder. Now we've got to find out some more about the ghost man the taxi driver and farmer saw leaving the house.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and by Jove, in the excitement, I forgot to tell you about a girl who phoned headquarters just after the news of the murder came through. She sounded quite crazy. She spoke with a heavy dialect and could hardly be understood. She said she had important information to give us about the murder, or a murder. She wanted us to go to her house, but I persuaded her to come to headquarters. She must be there now. Let's hurry back and question, huh?
Now, mademoiselle, you must be calm, please. We will help you. Now, tell us, what do you know about the murder of this unhappy young lady?
Young lady? Of that I know nothing. There's a mistake.
But, my dear girl, you called this office.
Ah, yes, I spoke of a murder, yes. But it was that of my sweetheart, who was killed many months ago, Jean Voyeur.
Oh, that, my dear girl, the man you speak of is your sweetheart, Jean Voyeur, was a dangerous criminal. A man who committed murder and then poisoned himself to avoid capture. At any rate, the police found him dead.
Oh, you're unjust, monsieur. My poor Jean was just a helpless tool who had killed under the influence of the vilest beast that ever lived. One Pedro Lamotte. My Jean was poisoned by that fiend. I saw him die and buried. My grief was great, yes. But at least I was thankful that my poor Jean was at peace beyond the evil power of Pedro Lamotte.
This is all very sad, mademoiselle, but there is nothing we can do. Your Jean is dead and...
But you're wrong, monsieur.
What?
Yes, I know you will call it fantastic. You will not believe it. But a few mad nights ago, I saw Pedro Lamotte going to a fine house on the Avenue de Trocadero. And I followed him. I saw a window light up on the first floor. I crept close and looked inside beneath the shade. Oh, I saw another man in the room with Pedro. Yes, monsieur, you may think me mad, but it was my dead lover, Jean Voyeur.
Ah, no.
But oh, how shame. His face was yellow and lifeless as parchment. His beautiful eyes were gone. They were dead. The white stone covered them. He walked like I suppose a dead man must walk, without a sound. Only his toes touched the ground. But it was my Jean. I knew by the scar on his cheek and the strange tattoo mark on his hand. Soon the light went out. The door opened and my Jean came up. I staggered to my feet and clasped his hand as he brushed by me. That hand was rigid and cold as ice. At the touch of that hand, everything went flat. I began to faint, but I soon rallied and tried to run after my Jean. But he had gone. Sad.
My dear girl, I have heard you with patience. I feel sorry for you, very sorry. But your hatred of this Pedro and your grief over the loss of your sweetheart have caused you to brood and brood until you imagine some horrible things.
Then you do not believe me.
I prefer not to discuss it.
But you must help me, monsieur. I beg of you. Find that poor, wandering, soulless body torn from its grave for heaven knows what purpose. Pedro must be punished for his evil doing. Who knows how many poor creatures are in his power? Save my Jean, I beg of you.
Now, monsieur, what is all the excitement? What are these weird and startling discoveries you have made? Tell me before you both explode. Wolf, you first.
That girl, Fanny da Costa, was telling the truth, Lacan.
What?
We went to the grave where Jean Voyeur was buried. We uncovered the coffin and found proof it had been tampered with. The screws fastening the lid had been removed.
Yes?
We quickly tore off the lid, and in place of Jean Voyeur, we found the body of the beautiful young woman killed in exactly the same manner as Mademoiselle de Souchet. We removed the body in the morgue, and so far she remains unidentified.
But what of this Pedro and the ghost man, Jean Voyeur?
Lavalois and myself kept close watch on Pedro's house in the Avenue de Trocadero.
Yes?
We disguised ourselves and hid in a small cafe across the street and waited. Our patience was finally rewarded. Pedro came out and drove away in a very fast car. It was all Lavalois could do to keep anywhere near him, but we managed to follow him to an old deserted mill out in the hills. Cautiously, we followed Pedro and managed to get a view of the inside of the old mill, and there we saw the ghost man, just as the taxi driver and the farmer described him. It was Jean Voyeur, all right. We recognized him from the description Mademoiselle de Costa gave us of her sweetheart. He was a horrible, ghastly figure.
Yes.
A walking dead man.
But never mind continuing the description of what happened.
Pedro led him away to the big fast car, put him in the rear seat and pulled down the shades and drove away. We tried to follow, of course, but darkness was gathering and the speed of Pedro's car was too much for us. Unfortunately, we lost him.
Well, that is annoying, but you have done well, monsieur. We have a definite connection between Pedro and the, shall we say, the ghost man who was seen at Mademoiselle de Souchet's house at the time of the murder. Now, have you found out anything about Pedro Lamotte, Ducre?
Yes, sir. We're beginning to compile quite a file on him.
Yes?
He had a place in Port-au-Prince in Haiti.
Yes.
He was accused of using secret poisons in some pretty vile crimes. He was never convicted because people feared his powers as a witch doctor. He came to this country and had been seen quite often with a murdered woman, Mademoiselle Duchet.
You still got men watching Pedro's house and someone watching that the Costa girl's place?
Yes, we're hoping Pedro will come home where we can watch him.
One moment, please. Lacan speaking.
Lapin speaking. Pedro has just driven up with his car. The ghost man is with him.
All right, keep a close watch. We'll be out there in less than 5 minutes. Come on, we're going out to Pedro's in a hurry. He's just got home. All right, quick, Wolf. Get it. See, Pedro. Lavalois, you get that ghost man.
Good heaven.
Pedro has been shot with that strange weapon. He's dying on his feet.
All right, put him down. See if we can get a confession.
Andy.
Then
you can help him, sir.
All right, here. Yeah, take a little of this. That's it.
Yeah.
Now then, tell us, who is that dead thing, that man over there?
The dead man I brought to life.
What?
He was my slave. The poison we have in Africa.
Ah, poison, monsieur.
It causes catalepsy. You understand, suspended animation. Whoever drinks the poison dies. Practically. Yes. Only the shell remains. which even though it is buried, it's taken from the grave within 24 hours, can be brought back to life.
Mm.
But with no mind, no will, and no memory of past.
Exactly.
Dead man, except for his animal instincts and his muscles. This man had killed in his first life. Therefore, I made him go on killing. That pistol. My invention fires 12 times. No noise. It killed Adalia, who was working against me and many others.
Why?
Why? Why did you kill them?
I didn't.
A slave, a zombie, did that. I needed blood and other things. You know? My experiments. Now, he killed me. Somebody struck him. He must never be struck. Maybe.
Hold it, Ted.
Yeah. He's gone. He's dead.
Well, Ghost Man has gone, too. He had a knife planted between his shoulders.
That's too bad. I'd like to complete our case.
I'll tell you all you want to know.
Yes?
I'm a voodoo also. He treat my poor brother in the same way. Give him to eat of the leaves of sleep and raise him from the death sleep to make him kill people.
Yes.
That happened at Port of France. I raised the people against him, and he dragged me, made me a slave. He made me take zombies away he want to kill, so he had alibi. I'll tell you everything.
Yes, yes, go on.
Pedro, the big voodoo priest, he tried to make drink for never die. Lived 200-300 years. He took heart of woman, blood of woman. He great witch doctor and prayed Dan Ballard the snake god. Those who pray to him mustn't kill with own hands.
Yes, yes, yes.
Odalie de Suche, witch doctor too. She hates Pedro. Make voodoo magic to kill him. Pedro sends zombies and kill her first.
I say. Thank you very much. Well, monsieur, this solves our case. I see it all clearly now. Pedro Lamotte was a scientist as well as a criminal. A madman who combined science and witchcraft in searching for an elixir of eternal life, for which he needed the heart and blood of his victim. This monstrous crime is almost like a fable. I'm glad we don't often get such cases.
You have just heard The Voodoo Murder Mystery by the celebrated author H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the Sûreté, the French secret police. The complete story of The Voodoo Murder Mystery will be featured in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Dramas presents The Case of the Haunted Castle, dramatized from The Maker of Shadows, the fourth story in the new series, The Return of Ashton Wolfe, now being featured in The American Weekly. This new series of baffling mystery stories are written by H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the Sûreté, the French secret police, and for many years, assistant to Dr. Bertillon, the founder of the famous system of criminal identification. If you are one of the millions of Americans who enjoy reading real good detective mysteries, you can't afford to miss The Return of Ashton Wolfe series. Begin next Sunday by ordering the Hearst Sunday News.